Hutchins, gadzooks. Look at that old spook of spooks.
Who's that coming down the street?
Are they shovels or are they feet?
Neat and lanky,
skin and bone, with bows the scarecrow would hate to own. Yet he has a certain air.
Debonair and devil may care. It's the new schoolmaster. Who's his name?
Ichabod. Ichabod Crane.
Ichabod, what a name.
Kind of odd.
But nice just the same.
Funny pen, funny frame. Ichabod,
Ichabod Crane. Ichabod may be quaint. Maybe odd and maybe he ain't. Anyway, there's no complaint from Ichabod, Ichabod Crane. And though the arrival of the pedagogue gave rise to mixed emotions, the townspeople all agreed they'd never seen anyone like Ichabod, Ichabod Crane.
Welcome back to another episode of Wicked Darkness. Tonight, it's Steve and Kathy. And,
hello.
Hi. So I didn't realize that we're going to be talking about Sleepy Hollow and the legend of the Sleepy Hollow, which involves the Headless Horseman, Ichabod Crane, the town itself of Sleepy Hollow, New York. But I did not realize that the author of Sleepy Hollow, which is Washington Irving,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He died this month. I did not know that. He died November, I gotta find my notes here. He died in November 28th, 1857. So I guess it's like a little homage to Mr. Irving.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so like I said, we're gonna talk about Sleepy Hollow. Everybody knows about Sleepy Hollow. As far as like Ichabod Crane and the Headless Horseman, I know it. You know, Irving wrote a short story about it, but I know it from Disney. Growing up watching the cartoon,
Before Disney, when I was growing up, there was different cartoons about it, and that's all really I know. And I, you know, my question is, and I'm not very good at this. I mean, I know Sleepy Hollow, Ichabod Crane, like you said, all that, but. Mm-hmm. Did he write a lot of other stuff?
He did. You know? He wrote about, let me think about this now. He wrote about Sleepy Hollow, and he wrote about, oh my gosh, I'm drawing a blank, and people are going to sit there and start screaming at their radios because I'm drawing a blank. It's like right there at the tip of my tongue. Rip Van Winkle. There we go. So that's what he's known for, is Rip Van Winkle.
Now I know that now.
Yep. And the legend.
You say that, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sure he wrote other things, but those are the ones that he's known for.
Sure.
Sleepy Hollow.
Rip Van Winkle and Sleepy Hollow, that's kind of in the same time frame, it seems like.
Yeah. I don't know. 1700s,
1800s.
Yeah, he wrote them in the 1800s. So actually, they're a year apart. Rip Van Winkle, he wrote in 1819. And then The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, he wrote in 1820. So literally a year apart from each other.
Yeah. Why was there just a shadow walking behind me? Did you see that?
I did not.
I'm the only person in this room. Well, that was weird.
Well, are you sure?
Right behind me. I that was the weirdest thing ever, didn't it? Ray completely is like somebody, Jill, I mean, it's only me and Jill here.
Yeah.
And I saw a whole shadow just walk behind me.
Well, you know, the funny thing is I am recording this, so I will go back and look.
Take a look at that and see what that was. I mean, here, that's not my arm. I'm moving my arm.
Yeah.
Wow, that was weird. Yes. Take a look at that. I don't know what that was. Very
You're
weird.
You're normal on a podcast. That's awesome. Well, okay. So I know Sleepy Hollow, we're a week past Halloween time. Let me throw in, since you just had that, everybody has pretty much the Ring on their front doors nowadays, the camera and all that. So normally we stay outside during trick-or-treating time and we have kids go through, we build a cemetery and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. This year we decided not to do that. We're revamping what we're going to do for Halloween for the kids. So we stayed inside this year and we're waiting for kids. And it was crappy weather here in Wisconsin, as you and I were kind of going back and forth on how, like, how many kids did you get at your door? So all of a sudden, like, the doorbell rang and he had just switched it to have like a creepy thing. Like it does the normal ring. And then he did a creepy Halloween theme right after it. And we're sitting on the couch and we're waiting for kids to come by because it's snowing, it's crappy out, it's really cold, and the doorbell rings. So with the Ring, you can see it on your phone if you have that app. So, you know, he goes to the door and I'm looking at the app going, okay, how many kids are at the door? There's nobody there. Nobody. Like, nobody did, like, ding dong ditch, run, you know, nobody. Okay, so we chalked it up of maybe the wind. Leaf flew by, triggered it, but you have to push the button for it to go off. That happened 4 times. We've had this thing for over a year now, and it's never done that. But on Halloween night, it rang 4 separate times throughout the 2.5 hour span, and not a single kid rang the doorbell at those times.
You know what? So I belong up to a Facebook group. It's whatever, Caledonia Community or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you belong to that or not.
Yes. Yep.
And so did you see the one about that lady that says that she lives on LaSalle Street and she keeps on someone, she'll be sitting down, you know, watching TV and someone starts pounding on her windows and they run out there and there's nobody there.
No, and I missed that one.
Yeah. And she says it's happened, you know, 4 or 5 times in the last couple of weeks. And really ramped up on trick-or-treating nights.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, we're almost at a point where once the sun goes down, we're waiting for it.
Right.
And they're all looking out the windows, her and her husband and kids, and they can't ever see anybody knocking on their windows. So that's a weird thing, too.
That's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it is that time of the year, you know. But like I said, we never had that problem before. And then all of a sudden, 4 times in the same night, in a 2.5 hour span, that we're like, So I kept checking the cameras going, okay, are there kids going by? Because I've had kids run through the yard or whatever, mm-hmm. to get notification.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's not where, you know, it's not where they're ringing the doorbell. They're just running through the yard from going from their friend's house through our yard to their house or vice versa.
Yep. Right.
But yeah, that was strange. So now you've got whatever it is that's in the background of yours, and I've got the Ring.
Yes, and it's so weird. I'm going to see. Hey, Jill, can you come here once? I'm going to see if I have like Jill walk behind me just for a second.
We're can trying to debunk something on our podcast. This is
Oh, okay. Well, she's doing something right now, but I don't know what that was because I know she was in the kitchen and I'm in like our dining room.
Right.
So I don't know what that was, but I saw like the whole thing went kind of black behind me for a second. Like someone was walking right behind me.
That's so weird. So, yeah. I'm going to definitely check that out. And then, you know, who knows? I just might post it on,
I don't know what it was, but it was so fast. And I was looking over my shoulder like, what the heck is that?
Yeah. And I was looking down at the time, so I didn't see it. So now, yeah we're going to have to.
Because I thought maybe I moved my arm, and I thought maybe it was my arm or something, but, you know, I mean, I can see that kind of thing, but it was like the whole thing behind. No, I'm not even there. Oh, there I am.
Okay, so for people that are listening to us as we're trying to figure this out, so we have, like, our logo for our Wicked Darkness behind us. So whatever is behind us is blocked out by the logo. So if we're too far away from the camera or we move or something like that, it doesn't pick us up kind of thing. So it's as if it was blurred, but it's the logo. So that's what we're talking about because it's just not. Yeah,
sorry, because it was weird.
Paranormal podcast having paranormal issues. I love it.
Yeah, that was weird. So anyways. Sleepy Hollow.
Kind of got off course there, but that's okay. Yeah. Still on there. All right, so Sleepy Hollow. How much do you know about Sleepy Hollow besides what you know from the cartoons and the TV shows? Do you know anything about the history of Sleepy Hollow, the
I
town
mean,
itself?
I don't know that much about it. I mean, I know about the town and, but really, and looking at this, and I started looking at this last week when we were going to do this, that I really don't find that much on it.
Yeah. So you really do have to search for it, but
Yeah.
I started watching some videos about Sleepy Hollow because I'm like, okay, everybody knows about the Irving story.
Yeah. Yep.
And there's also like Tim Burton did Sleepy
Yeah.
Hollow with Johnny Depp. There's the Sleepy Hollow TV show that is based in Sleepy Hollow, but it also brought in like the legendary stuff of the apocalypse and the Four Horsemen and stuff like that. But they also brought in some of the history that was tied to George Washington and his secret spy ring, kind of
Yeah.
tied in with that. But that really wasn't something that was Sleepy Hollow itself. So Sleepy Hollow really wasn't called Sleepy Hollow back then either. It was called Tarrytown. And it is in New
Yeah.
York. And they've
That's
switched it to Sleepy Hollow now, which is kind of cool. And Sleepy Hollow, Washington Irving lived in Tarrytown at the time. And when you go to Sleepy Hollow, and I haven't been there yet, and that's on my bucket list, especially after doing all the research about it, I really want to go just because it looks cool. Sleepy Hollow itself was, like I said, called Tarrytown, and Washington Irving lived in Tarrytown. He grew up there. And so a lot of what he wrote in the Sleepy Hollow, The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, he actually lived through with people that were there. So the church that is in there, that's actually in Sleepy Hollow. A lot of the characters that Irving wrote about were actual real people that he based these characters on. And those people are buried at the cemetery that is attached to the church. So it's kind of cool. Sleepy Hollow is in New York's Hudson Valley area.
Yep.
And so it's, tiny little town, not much happening, but everybody goes there now. It's like a tourist thing because they want to walk in the Ichabod Crane footsteps, basically. But the town itself, like I said, the church was built in the 1600s. And it was built by a man, and I gotta get my notes here, a man named Phillips, Frederick Phillips. He was the first lord of the manor that is known as Phillipsburg. So this is an old Dutch colony area, old Dutch church. So he built the church for the town. And the funny thing is, they now have a, well, it's not funny, but they have a sign erected outside the church that says, I wrote this down because this was part of the part that I was researching. Tarrytown was settled in 1640. The old Dutch church, because that's what it's known as, was built for the manor of Phillipsburg, built in 1697 by Frederick Phillips, was the first lord of the manor in use since 1690, I would assume 1697, 1698, except for the Revolutionary War. They shut down church during the Revolutionary War, which was right outside its doors, basically.
Yeah,
And
right, in that area for sure.
yeah, they had a skirmish there, and it was literally right outside the church itself. It was, I'm trying to think of the name of, oh, it was the Battle of White Plains, which was the battle that happened on the surrounding land outside the church area. And that was why they shut down, to keep everybody safe, that you can worship from home during the Revolutionary War. That was fine. After Revolutionary War, get your butts back in the pews. But they talk about the church, the cemetery itself, which Washington Irving himself is buried there. And so when you go there, you can see some of the characters that he wrote about. So Katrina is there, but her real name isn't Katrina. Katrina in the stories is Van Tassel. Van Tassel is correct. That is the family name, but he changed her first name to Elizabeth. Or, I'm sorry. He changed her name to Katrina. Her real
from Elizabeth.
Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, you know, Brom Bones, who goes after Katrina, he's actually two guys that he has gone and changed Brom Bones into the two gentlemen, from the two gentlemen, which is Abraham. And again, they're buried in the cemetery. So Abraham is Abraham Martinly was the village blacksmith. And then his son was also named Abraham, who was the village cobbler. And so Brom comes from Abraham, and Bones is because a blacksmith used to call his kid Bones because he was all skin and bones. So you got Brom Bones. But they're buried at the cemetery.
So, you know, I was just looking at something, not to change the subject.
No, go ahead. But,
no, where did it just go? So it said, I'm looking at a site about his life and everything else, and there's something here. It says there's a novel, and it was called Rip Van Winkle and the Legend of Sleepy Hollow. So is that two different stories? Or, I never heard that before. I'm looking at this right now, and it says, you know, born, die, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Works, novel, Rip Van Winkle and the Legend of Sleepy Hollow. And it says, filmed as The Adventures of Ichabod Crane and Mr. Toad in 1949.
Which is the cartoon.
Yep. And then Sleepy Hollow in 1999. And then The Headless Horseman. That was in 1922. But I don't think I ever heard of it as Rip Van Winkle and the Legend of Sleepy Hollow.
No.
So I'm going to have to look at that because I don't know what that is.
Yeah. Because like when we were talking about it, there he wrote them a year apart, unless they put them together.
Maybe that's what that is. It doesn't give a year here, but maybe they wrote them together or they put them together. But, that's weird.
That is weird.
We're talking about that. I'm kind of looking this stuff over, and I don't know what that means. I'll have to look at that.
Huh.
This is not a great website, whatever this is. But other things that I've read, I did not read that before.
Yeah, because I didn't see, from what I've seen, I haven't seen that. So maybe that's something new.
Well, and it says other works. So maybe he did the Headless Horseman, and then they did the Rip Van Winkle, and then they just added them together as one novel.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah. But I did not see that anywhere else.
Yeah.
That it was written like that, you know?
Yeah, that would be interesting to find out if it's if it's just a novel put together, kind of like the Ichabod Crane or Ichabod and Mr. Toad.
Yeah.
Even though it should be Mr. Toad and Ichabod, because Scott was just watching it on TV and they have Mr. Toad first and then Ichabod. But they have in big letters Ichabod and then Mr. Toad. I know, semantics of things, and it's just whatever. So we're talking about the characters. Now, big character in there besides Ichabod, well, we'll talk about Ichabod. Ichabod is actually a real person. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Mr. Crane, he was a gunnery officer who served with Irving during the War of 1812. And so Irving took his name, the whole name, Ichabod Crane, but he, as you know in the stories, Ichabod is not a warrior. He's not a soldier. He is a teacher.
Well, and he's kind of like Don Knotts.
Yes. You know? Yeah.
Very skinny and just not very much of a He-Man kind of guy.
Right. Know? Yeah. And he's kind of like the quiet, goofy looking, you know, not a ladies' man kind of thing, or,
right,
you know, just somebody that you normally would overlook. But what he did was he took Ichabod's name, but he fashioned the character after a school teacher named Jess Merwin. And Jesse, he hired Irving to be a tutor for the sons and daughters of politicians back in the day. So he ended up taking the name and then merging it with the characteristics of this school teacher that he worked with. So that's where the school teacher comes into play. But I mean, I get it, because you don't want a gunnery officer going up against a headless horseman who is also supposed to be a soldier. But I mean, it worked. And then the headless horseman, which is supposed to be a German soldier, or back then it was a Hessian soldier.
Hessian soldier, yeah.
Yeah. And they were like mercenaries. Like they were the ones that you want. If you want somebody dead, you're going to hire these people. And that's exactly what King George decided. He's like, all right, you colonialists want to fight and you want to break free from our country. I'm not going to make this easy on you. I'm going to hire these guys who will come in, and they're basically, you know, the baddest of the bad, and they're going to wipe you out. So he thought.
Those are the ones, the Hessians are the ones that, you know, George Washington crossing the Delaware on Christmas Eve, that's who they attacked, was Hessians.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, these guys were ruthless. But what I didn't know was, they say that the Hessian was, you know, beheaded by a cannonball.
Yep, yep.
But there's a story that Elizabeth, who is the person that Katrina is supposed to be based off of, she had, you know, her Van Tassel family, there's a huge family, very rich, very notable family. They were in the area during the war, and supposedly the headless soldier came in, her house caught on fire, and there was kids that were still stuck inside the house, and the Hessian soldier went in and saved her child.
Hmm.
And brought the child out. So they were going to not give the soldier a proper burial until she said, look, this guy actually isn't that bad. He went in, he helped my family, and I would like to give him a proper burial.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. And they gave him a proper burial. Now, do they know that this is actually what happened? I mean, that's kind of like a hearsay type thing. But
because honestly, I have not read that.
No,
I didn't see that.
Yeah, that was what they had brought up. And they're talking about that there was a bunch of homes. Obviously, Revolutionary War, they're trying to destroy the colonialists, their way of life, so that they can, you know, bring them down to submission to rejoin the crown. And so they burned down the homes and everything. And a lot, so like I said, the Van Tassel family was a large family, and they had a bunch of homes, and a bunch of their clansmen, their homes burnt down. So the, you know, that was part of where they were saying that the Hessian came in and saved her baby, and you know, she wanted to repay him, or repay one of them for going in and helping her in her time of need and allowing him to be buried properly. But the historians believe the soldier is actually there in the cemetery, but the exact location, they don't know where it could be, because there's multiple layers of graves. And so they said that in the burial grounds itself, in the town's cemetery, they said there is still some space remaining, but it can't be used for future interment, since historians believe burials in this area already could be 5 layers deep.
Huh.
Talk about
that's because of the war, right?
Yeah. Can you imagine 5 layers? I mean, just burying them on top of each other.
Weird side note, I worked in a cemetery when I was young, and the cemetery was full, and we had to take the people out of the ground and put them in above ground crypts. So that was a very bizarre thing. But yeah, the cemeteries get full. And the cemetery that I worked at was a very private Orthodox cemetery. And they didn't like bodies buried on top of, but like a husband and wife.
Yeah.
You know, get one plot, kind of like a military, you know, like Woods, Wisconsin. And so they didn't like body on top of body to bury husbands and wives and stuff, or next to each other too much. So once the cemetery was full, we had to dig up a whole bunch. They built above ground crypts, and they put them so there'd be no more room to put bodies into the ground.
So obviously you guys had to have family approval for that, correct?
When you could.
Okay.
When you could. But you had to have a coroner there, and the sheriff.
Okay.
Because, you know, weirdly enough, to make sure the person was dead, we're digging them up. So that's a pretty good chance, you know. And then the sheriff.
You never know, so you might get a vampire.
I know. Or the sheriff. I just dropped my phone. Or the sheriff had to be there so you weren't robbing the jewelry and stuff.
Okay, that makes sense.
For one second, I dropped my phone and almost broke my toe on it. So.
Oh, boy. We're just having a good old time of technology today. So, okay, so here's some other facts about the cemetery. I know I'm, like, kind of talking about this cemetery a lot. But the cemetery also has residents in there, one of them being the military secretary for General Ulysses S. Grant, the drummer boy for General Phillips Henry Sheridan, so General Sheridan. Him and Grant were really good friends during the war, during the Civil War. I believe they both went to West Point together. And a mayor from New York City, William Paulding, who had died in the early 1800s, is also buried there. But the cemetery has a witch that's buried there. Hedda. Or Hedda, I'm not saying it correctly, but I'll say Hedda the Witch. Her last name is not known, since she was branded a witch. And those that believe that she was, they think she was a good witch, not a bad witch. She's not the Wicked Witch of the West, or in this case, the East for us. There was a headstone could not be placed over her grave due to her being a witch. But they did put some nondescript flagstone or field stones down. And then a few years ago, they ended up finding or putting down a small plaque that would refer to her as, you know, being the witch. And that's what's there now. But they do have a witch. So I thought that was kind of interesting. So That's a lot about the cemetery. And then when you go in and break down the story, so Ichabod is not from Tarrytown. Usually he comes in, he's supposed to be a school teacher taking over, not knowing anybody. He kind of falls for Katrina, but then Katrina is also being followed by Bram Bones, and it's like this love triangle. And then, you know, Brom tries to scare Ichabod because he doesn't want him to stay. So he talks to him about, you know, the Headless Horseman. And then there's also the White Witch, or the White Lady, I should say, that's there. And, you know, kind of scaring him to leave so that he can have Katrina all to himself. And they show in, and again, I'm referring back to the cartoon because that's how I know it as.
So, I mean, that's how I first got, you know, knew about it was the cartoon.
Yeah.
Which I still like that cartoon when I see it.
Right, you know? Right. It's a great cartoon. Mm-hmm. And so they show like the bar that they go in, and, you know, Brahm is doing his song and dance about Ichabod, or about the Headless Horseman. Then they also show like the covered bridge.
Yeah.
Where Ichabod is going through, and that's when he first encounters the Headless Horseman.
Yeah.
And then they also show the Van Tassel homes and stuff like that. If you go to Sleepy Hollow, a lot of that is no longer there, but they have plaques showing what was at that location back in Washington Irving's day. So, and of course,
so the bridge is gone. The bridge is gone.
Yeah. So the bridge is gone. And what they have instead, is they have a marker that will say, I gotta find my notes here. There's a sign that says at this intersection. So there's an intersection. There's like a little creek under this bridge. So it's still a bridge. It goes over this little creek, and it says that this is the Headless Horseman's Bridge, described by Irving in the Legend of Sleepy Hollow, spanning this stream at this spot. And when you go there, it just looks like a regular
bridge,
you know, bridge that we have around here. Mm-hmm. But they do have the sign on there. But it is over a creek. It does. I mean, if you use your imagination, you can see the covered bridge.
Right.
Cool if you had that.
And that was a big part of it, that covered bridge. The sounds of the horse and the Headless Horseman coming across the wooden planks on the bridge.
And, and there's not a lot of those bridges around anyway.
No.
I think the closest one for us is Cedarburg, Wisconsin has one. And
there's one in Red Granite, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So my friend lives there, and there's one there, people just come there and take pictures because there's a nice river there, and there's a red farmhouse right there. So it gives you that whole same vibe of Sleepy Hollow. So there's always people there taking pictures.
Yeah. And there's also one in Long Grove, Illinois, but that one has concrete going across. It doesn't have like the wood planks or anything like you would think. You know,
yeah, the one up by Red Granite, that's all wooden plank, all, you know, they painted it red. It looks all, you know.
So very picturesque.
Yeah, it's very picturesque. There's a very nice river there. And there's like, by this barn, there's like, you know, the wheel that they probably used at some point for milling.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really cool. It's a very cool area. So basically
what they had in Sleepy Hollow back then.
Yes, it's kind of almost like that. You know, it's very cool. It's very nice.
So, yeah. Like, if you ever go to Sleepy Hollow, they have, like I was telling you about the Phillipsburg, it's mm-hmm. Phillipsburg Manor, which is where Frederick, who built the church, he has his home there, and then they have a mill, same thing with the wheel and all that stuff, but it's not original. That all burnt down. And so they rebuilt it,
yeah,
to make it into like a museum. So you can go there and you can walk through everything. They have people kind of like how we have it here at Old Wisconsin, where, you know, dressed up in period clothing. They do the same thing. It was shut down about a year or two ago for renovations and stuff like that. But I believe it's back open again. But same thing. It has the big mill and everything. And there's the bridge that Ichabod goes over, and that's where they, you know, they talk about the other bridge that he walked yeah. over. You can see the manor from that vantage point. There's actually two. So there's the street bridge, and then there's one that you walk on from the property itself. So you can't, you have to go in
yeah. and
do the tour to walk on that bridge. Which
let me ask you this. Closer. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. But I'm just thinking about crap. So do any groups ever do investigations in that area? And I know it's just a story from a book, but
yeah,
it seems like haunted stuff, you know, bridges and
right. I'm not sure if they have anybody out there that does them.
Yeah, I've never seen any. I mean, I look all the time for investigations to go on, and
right.
I don't remember ever seeing one there, you know. And then you have the flip side where you have like Salem, which obviously have the witch trials and all that. There's a million things for that, but
right. Yeah,
I think anything out in the woods is scary anyway. So
yeah, and I'm sure that they have something. I mean, they do tours in the cemetery. They do tours at the manor. I don't know if they actually have anybody do any right. kind of paranormal investigations.
Right, and
that's something we should look into.
Yeah. I don't even know why I thought about that, but you know, you're talking about witches in the buried in the cemetery and, you know, I mean, to me, all fiction is based on some kind of fact.
Right.
You know, like we're talking about the teachers and the, you know, so.
Well, you know, when you think about East Coast, it's been around for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's not Europe, but for us, that's the oldest part of the United States that was inhabited besides indigenous people.
Right.
So that's, you know, going back 300-400 years over there, they have to have something that's like all up and down the coast is haunted.
You would think, you know, from the top to the bottom there. I mean, well, obviously Florida, that's all haunted
yeah.
all over the place there. So,
right. Right.
But I just never heard of it before. I've heard of other yeah. places, and I'm going to have to look now after today. I'm going to have to look and see if there's anything.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious because like
they must have some kind of walking tour around by that bridge and that cemetery, and you would think I don't know, maybe someone
so.
If they're listening they can tell us,
right? Yeah,
you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Me either.
You think I would know, but no, I don't.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, like I said, I mean, you can read stuff about the story and about the author and stuff. There's not a lot of stuff. I mean, a lot of it's repeated.
Right.
You know, it's the same stuff written a little bit different, you know?
Yeah.
So I was just looking at something right here that he was engaged in 1808, but the woman he was engaged to died of tuberculosis. And it said he was so devastated that, this is a quote from him, "For years I could not talk on the subject of this hopeless regret. I could not even mention her name, but her image is continuously inside of me, and I dream of her every single night incessantly."
Aww.
Isn't that weird?
Guy?
No. And here's another thing, too. He coined the word Gotham for a nickname for New York City.
Really?
And he also established the use of the name Knickerbocker as a name for New Yorkers. Gotham was named was the name of a city lampooned in stories in his literary magazine, The Knickerbocker. So that's kind of weird.
That is weird. What I saw something about.
And he was also was the creator of the phrase "the almighty dollar," which he really? Wrote in one of his stories called "The Creole Village." Oh, isn't that weird? It's really weird, hey?
Wow.
What does it say here? It says, "Also, it wouldn't be very Merry Christmas without Irving. In a time when Christmas wasn't widely celebrated, Irving helped create the modern image of Santa Claus in A History of New York. He wrote about a man who dreamt that the good St. Nicholas came riding over the top of the trees in that self-same wagon wherein he brings his yearly presents to the good children. He continued to foster the Christmas tradition in the sketchbook of Jeffrey Crayon, with stories like Christmas Eve, which described a little then little known tradition of hanging mistletoe.
Wow.
Isn't that weird? I mean, I'm just looking at this. I mean, that,
yeah,
you know,
no, that's interesting.
Because I'm trying to find other things, you know.
Yeah.
So he also had a hand in inventing the myth that people in the Middle Ages thought that the world was flat. In his book, 1828 book, A History of the Life of the Voyages of Christopher Columbus, he fictionalizes the meeting of the Spanish commission that examines Columbus's expedition, blah, 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 where he comes to the realization that the earth is actually flat.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't know any of that. I mean, was ever listening to this? I didn't know any of that. I'm
yeah.
like looking at it right now and I'm just reading this right literally.
Well, and now that you brought that up, I'm like reading, there's like three facts about him. He is named after George Washington. That's why they called him Washington.
Yep.
And that he was the last of 11 children, 8 who had lived to adulthood. And then he lived through the yellow fever.
Yep, that's when they sent him. Yeah, they sent him to that town then.
Yeah.
They sent him, and yeah, I'm probably got the same thing right now. It says, too, that he was the last of 11 children, 8 of whom lived to adulthood. His older brothers supported him as he pursued his writing interests. Maybe I should have read all this before. I wouldn't sound as dumb as I do right now.
No, I mean, that's interesting, though. I never knew any of that stuff.
No, I never known that either, yeah.
Wow.
He said in 1940, he was the first author to be featured on the famous American series of stamps.
Wow. You think that you know somebody. No, I really didn't know this guy at all.
I knew nothing, yeah. That's well,
the story.
I mean, right.
But he's kind of an interesting fellow.
Oh, and he never got remarried after that woman he was engaged to.
Yeah.
Said he would never, he could never fathom the thought of ever being remarried again.
They say that he is the original city slicker.
Yes, I just saw that. I mean, look at some of these pictures. He's kind of like a Dapper Dan, you know.
He really is, you know? Yeah.
He looks
never
like,
attended college.
And you know, you look at some of these pictures, I mean, they're kind of all the same, but it looks like he didn't want for any money.
Yeah.
You know, he always looks very well dressed, and so I don't even know about that. I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird. Like,
was he a poor author? You know, well, it also, I just like read that his family gave him money and supported him when he was writing.
Right. Well, and I was just reading about, you know, what he studied, and it says that he returned from Europe to study law with his legal mentor, Judge Josiah Olden Hoffman of New York, and by his own admission was not a good student and barely passed the bar exam in 1806. So it looks like he was a lawyer.
He was the U.S. minister to Spain from 1842 to 1846.
I mean, this guy, he got around doing a lot of things.
Yeah.
Which is great. I mean, he spoke fluent Spanish.
No, that's why he was the minister to Spain, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was a lawyer, diplomat to Britain and Spain, spoke fluent Spanish. Served him well in his writings on that country. And he could also read several other languages, including German and Dutch. Well, that just makes me feel stupid. I mean, this man, he's like...
Well, I mean, but I guess unless you're not specifically talking about Sleepy Hollow and Washington Irving, how would you even know, you know? I mean...
Right.
You don't really hear a lot about it, you know?
Well, during the war, he served as a military aide to New York Governor Tompkins during the War of 1812. This guy really got around. I mean, you think
he did, yeah.
He's a
I mean,
writer, but
yes, maybe we should have another episode of Washington Irving, the, you know, the non Sleepy Hollow years, because this guy's really,
he's definitely interesting.
yeah. It's cool though, you know, this is why this is, you know, these kind of things are good podcasts and stuff. You learn so many different things,
You do. You
you
learn a
know.
lot. This one here was he his patriotism flared with the burning of the Capitol. He was served as governor's aides, military secretary for a time. In 1815, he left America for England to visit his brother, but remained there for 17 years, again traveling to various countries in Europe.
You know, you say that, and he was this minister to Spain, and he was writing these books. And he, how old was he? You know, I mean, I have to look when he passed away, because he sure did a lot of stuff,
He
you
did.
know.
Well, the Legend of Sleepy Hollow, he wrote a short story of it in 1820, but contains in his collection of 34 essays and short stories titled The Sketchbook of Jeffrey Cran. That was what you were talking about. He
Yep.
wrote stories while living in Birmingham, England, and that's where he got those most of his short stories and essays, it looks like.
Since he was
But
also educated privately, he started
yeah.
writing essays under the pen name Jonathan Oldstyle for the Morning Chronicle, which was edited by his older brother.
Well, looking at this, there Ichabod Crane that he wrote about was a colonel. I actually found a picture of him too, the actual Ichabod Crane.
I
The
thought that he was
older
in
gentleman.
But I thought that he was in the service, even in the old cartoon. I thought he was a retired, you know, military guy.
Know Ichabod Crane if he was in the military during the cartoon.
School teacher.
Just the school teacher?
Right, he was a school teacher, but I thought that he was in the military before that. I
Made
can
him
remember
the
something
cartoon
he
made him
mentioned.
a Brady Cat.
Yeah, they did make him
In
a
right in the movie, they do, he's afraid of his own shadow, and there's a
right.
mystery voice there. We see no person, but there's a
That
voice there.
yes.
So,
Do you want
and
to
if you know
say
that, I don't know where that voice is coming from. It's
hi?
just there.
It's a ghost.
It's a ghost.
Yeah.
It's a ghost. Do you have a name there, ghost? No
No.
name.
Just ghosts.
Just ghost.
Just ghost.
We kind of talked about like all the different places in Sleepy Hollow, and we talked about I'm just like kind of going through my notes here about the landmark. So okay, there the Van Tassel homes. Getting back onto the topic here. Not that we ever drift off the topic, I
No,
swear.
but we were kind of on it. We were talking about him.
That's right. So the Van Tassel home is no longer there. Instead, there's condominiums that are built there, and they don't stay like on the side of the building. They do have a plaque, but it's not about the Van Tassels. It's about the bar. So even though it's on the property of the Van Tassel homestead, apparently the bar was really close to the homestead too. The homestead was, they did say it was the only one on, it was like 200 acres, only home there. And but the bar was in that same vicinity. So on the placard itself, it also, before it was a condominium, it also was a former school, Pearson School, which was the site of the Mott House Tavern. The Mott House Tavern is the tavern where we were talking about where Brom Bones was talking to Ichabod and telling him about the story of the Headless Horseman. And that was like the go-to place for everybody. So that is there. And it says that the thing itself, it says, former Pearson School, site of the Mott House Tavern, where Ichabod Crane first heard the story of the Headless Horseman. And then there is a park not too far away. Now, all this is in walking distance. There's a park known as the Patriot Park. That's the park where you see in the cartoon version of Ichabod leaving the Van Tassel home. He's walking through and stuff. There's another bridge that he crosses, and that's where he first encounters the Headless Horseman. That park is there, and that does have a bridge, not like where you're thinking of the covered bridge,
yeah,
but it's a walking bridge over a little bit of a stream that looks like it's they've created like a waterfall type of stream going into the normal stream. So it made it into this really nice park, but that's the grounds where Ichabod was supposed to be walking through to go home when he met up with the Headless Horseman. So like I said, all these places you can go to at Sleepy Hollow, and you can, you know, walk the steps of the characters and stuff. But again, this is also where Washington Irving grew up. So you're actually walking the steps of Washington Irving. And, you know, the only place that you can't go to, like in the story, they talk about Raven's Rock, which is where the lady in white is supposed to be haunting. That one you actually have to get in a car and drive. That one's like 6 miles down the road. And it's in a forest preserve type thing. And the rock is big. I mean, it's just like in the movie, where it shows the big rock. And then that is a different ghost story, that she was a girl that got stuck in a storm and she was trying to get home. She was actually trying to visit with her love, who was a soldier, but she got, like I said, she got stuck in a storm and she thought she would be able to find refuge by these rocks, this big, huge rock. And she ended up freezing to death and she died. And now she haunts that area, and you'll see her dressed in white and you'll hear her crying out for, you know, her love, and that she was crying. And my dogs are barking because this is what they do every podcast. People should know my dogs by now.
Yes. Yeah. They both sat on my feet yesterday. We had a meeting and
they did.
It took hours for my feet to come back to life because they were two big dogs sleeping on one on each foot.
Right. And my one dog, she doesn't like guys. So that's like a big step for her.
I know. And I moved my foot, just my toes, because they were going numb. And she just looked at me very nicely and went, so I'm like, okay, I will not move my toes anymore. Sorry about that. then I gave her popcorn. So she got off for a second.
she loves her popcorn. I mean, she just, that's the thing. Like, if I've got a bowl of popcorn there, like right there. And like,
I'm bringing popcorn down every meeting from now on.
They're
going to like me then.
They're going to be by you the whole time. I'm never going to see my dogs. All three of them are going to be like right at your feet. You're going to be their best friend.
I didn't see the little one that much yesterday.
Once when I came in
and once when they were all eating and drinking. But that was
He was hanging out with my daughter. So yep. I think because our little one is a dachshund. For those of you that are listening to this part of it, this is kind of like the personal part of this.
Topic. Talking about my feet.
But my little dachshund, he likes to burrow. So he goes, my daughter was in my living room watching TV while we were having our meeting last night, and he burrows himself underneath the blankets. And he'll only come out if, you know, people are like making a ruckus and like getting up and leaving or whatever. He's like charging. Yep. And he thinks he's the big guy, and he's
he does.
He's nothing. In fact, my other two dogs are bigger dogs, like you were saying, Steve, and they eat him like he's nothing to them. They're, you know, they'll three of them will go out and play, and he's basically a speed bump.
He's little compared to them other dogs, for sure.
He is. Yeah. I mean, he can walk right underneath both of them, and then they don't even know.
And then I came home, and the cat was up on me, smelling me. She's like, "What the hell's going on here? What are all these different dog smells all over you, especially your feet? Damn it, what's going on here?" So,
how dare you?
I had to give her some extra treats today just to make up for that. So.
Oh, Yeah, because, you know, that's not your home. That's her home. Just like, yeah. This isn't our home. This is their home.
Yep.
we're not the masters. They are.
No, that's for sure. So anyways, somehow this all goes back to Washington Irving. So
it does.
So you all know that. He must have had dogs at some point in time. So
he had to have. I mean, they had the horses back then, so those are big dogs. I think my Bella, she thinks she was a dog at one time.
Horse.
I mean, a horse. Yeah. Sorry, she is a dog. Well, anytime we're watching something on TV and there's a horse comes on, she's like glued to the TV, and I'm like, what is your obsession? And then we just did a presentation about an hour away from here. And afterwards, we went out for lunch. And they actually had horses in stalls like they did back in the day. And at first, I'm like, what the heck is that? And so we're parked in the parking area that they have for the bars and grills or whatever in this little town. And right down the hill are these little... There was three horses and people just rode their horses, tied them up and went in, had a beer or whatever. And I'm like, oh my God, if my dog was here, she'd be like all over this. But I don't know how people did it. I mean, we talk about it now, like you have to have money to have horses.
Yeah.
And you don't have to have a lot of money to have a car. But back in the day, the poor people had the horses and the rich people had the cars. So, you know, I don't know how people did it back then. I don't know how Irving did it, where, you know, I'll watch certain shows. Like, I'm a big history buff. I love history.
I wanted to be a history teacher when I was young. So,
yeah, I mean,
an archaeologist.
Yeah.
And third international spy. So, that's my three.
My dad would take me on vacations every year, and we didn't go to like cool places that I thought was cool back then. But now as an adult, I'm like, oh my God, my dad was onto something. So my dad would take me to historical places. Yeah. And as a kid, you're like, oh my God, this is so boring. Can I go to a mall? Can I go do this, you know, big city type things?
Yeah.
But no, he took me to places that out west and, you know, even down south, out east. It had to have some kind of history to it. And so, you know, now as an adult, I'm like, now I know where I get this from is my dad instilled all this into me. So for me, I love history. And so I'll watch old things about Revolutionary War, Civil War, stuff like that.
I'm a huge Revolutionary War and Civil War person.
Yeah.
You know, I love both of those eras, you know, just especially the Revolution. I really like Revolutionary War stuff. And, you know, there's not a lot of movies about the Revolution.
No, there's not.
I'm getting off of Washington Irving here. Sorry, everybody that's going to listen to this. But, you know, there's really not. There's only a few actual movies that, you know, have anything to do with the actual war rather than the war being like part of a subplot to some other stuff going on, you know.
Right, right.
Which I think is sad.
It is. It is. And I'm the great granddaughter of a British captain from the Revolutionary War.
So we belong, well, it's my brother, because he's the oldest, to this, Cincinnati group, which is we had a family member that was on Washington, George Washington's staff.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so there's a group of the ancestors of these people. It's called the Cincinnati something. I can't remember the whole thing. But it's the oldest son of a fat women can't belong to it, or maybe they can now, but when we got into this many years ago, it was the oldest son of the, you know, the descendant of the people that were on George Washington's staff. So
I didn't know anything about that.
My
great grandfather was a British captain, and it apparently wasn't that great because he's in a book. And there was a skirmish about a bridge, kind of like what we were talking about.
See, now we're going right back to Washington Irving's thing. Right. But we're talking about a bridge.
And it's in that area that it happened. And he, he lost the battle of that bridge. He wasn't that great at commanding, apparently. But, you know, it's kind of cool that he's in this book or whatever. I love, like, I watch John Adams, that whole series, Sons of Liberty.
You ever watched, I think it's called 1776, which is a musical,
mm-hmm.
but it's pretty good. I mean, it's, for being a musical, it's pretty historically accurate.
Yeah. And then, I read books and stuff like that. I read about Washington's spy ring and stuff like that. And, they talk about that in the series Turn. Same with, telling you about the TV show Sleepy Hollow. They talk about the spies, Ichabod, and Katrina were part of the spy ring and stuff like that. So, I mean, those are kind of, I love that history. And that's kind of what I, go with the haunted stuff is it's all about history. Every haunting, there is history that's waiting to be told.
It's somebody's history.
Right.
It doesn't have to be Washington Irving or anybody else, but it's some person's history.
Right.
And there's a story behind, to me, everything that's haunted.
Exactly.
And just like, we're getting so far off the subject, but like Farrar, to me, that's so cool because, and that's in Iowa, people, it's an old schoolhouse, that, supposedly there's a lot of children spirits there. I really didn't feel that so much, but I watched a lot and read a lot about it. And you think, what makes those children go back to that school? Why are they there?
I would not want to haunt my childhood
school. I want to get the hell out of my school. I don't want to be in there.
I don't want to be there.
But like, why go there? I could see like the principal who's supposed to be there. He was in charge of the school and taking care of the children.
Right.
And janitor guy that lives in the evil room back there. That was his place, man. I mean, he was lived there all the time. He was there, but like, what makes the children go there? I mean, if that's the place, either they're stuck there or it was their happy place, but then how crappy was their life if that's their happy place that they would go to school?
And the intriguing thing about haunted locations is, why are you picking this location? What was the meaning of this location in your life that you decided that you're going to come back and haunt that place? I'd be interested to see, like we were talking about with the Sleepy Hollow, is, who is there? Yeah, I know that the building's burnt down, but out of the years, we know that it's not always about the building. Sometimes it's about the people that were there.
Just talking off the top of my head, but I mean, like a Washington Irving kind of person that, I'm not saying he haunts that area, but you would think that's a place he goes back to because that's where he had his life and his fame, I guess.
His house is still there. You can also go see his house, and they do the same thing that they do with Phillips Manor, Phillipsburg Manor. So I'd be interested to see if he actually does haunt his home.
And again, when we're talking about this, I never even thought about that before.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I mean, I've seen Sleepy Hollow. I've read the story. But just I wonder if that's... And you think, plus that land and the area is so old and so much history around just the land itself before people lived there. I mean, before the English and everybody else came over.
Yeah.
Just from the indigenous people there, that'd be cool.
It would be. They have all those skirmishes that happen there. I mean, you think about all the history that has happened on that land. Because we do genealogy, Scott and I do genealogy as well for our family. And I've learned that my family, they lived off the Potomac by DC area. And they had, at that point, they had over 800 acres off the Potomac River. I 800 acres. What are you going to do with 800? But throughout the years, they've like pulled it apart and they've sold it.
Yeah, they parcel it off. Yeah.
Yeah, they've sold it to God only knows how many people now. But just imagine all those people, 800 acres. And now you've got all these different people, all the families and stuff like that now have lived on there for the last 200-300 years.
Yeah.
You know, and what happened before my family came here from England, who lived there, the indigenous people probably, and how long did they live here for?
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just, it's amazing to think about all the people. I mean, when I think of that, I think of like flashes of people, you know, you see that on movies, time travel.
Yep.
And you just think of all those people and what they look like back then, and they're just flashing through, and that's just keeps on moving throughout the centuries and stuff.
Well, my brother, my younger brother, does all the family history stuff on, you know, ancestry.com and all that stuff, you know, and just, he's been doing it for years and just looking at the pictures of these people, you know, that he's found and just thinking like, that's my relative, you know, right. I'm from that person, you know?
Right.
And, well, Jill, walk by here once. Yeah. Walk behind me once. See, there she walked right behind me. There's nothing there. Look at, she just did it again. Okay, sorry everybody. That's just,
we're still trying to debunk from the beginning.
My ghost that was walking behind me here. That was very weird. I can't believe you were looking down and didn't see that, because it was like someone. Look, I mean, I can get up and walk 2 inches away from here and you can't see me.
Right.
And that blocked out that whole thing behind me.
We had a paranormal event in the beginning, and
yes,
a shadow figure walked by, and I had my vision was down looking at my notes and stuff. So we're trying to debunk it.
Well, Jill was laying and watching TV, and she had the cat on her, so she wouldn't get up right away. She just got up now, and I'm like, walk here. I want to see what that was, but you couldn't even see her. She walked by twice.
People are going to sit there going, you better show this now, because I want to see this.
Dude, that was very weird. See, look at, here, look, Jill, say hello. Put your head in there.
I don't think I'm in there.
You're not in there, Jill.
Maybe she's a ghost. Look at, she's
either one of you are there.
How am I not in there?
I don't know. Well, there you are. I saw. I look like I had two heads.
Hi.
But that was very strange that she didn't show up right behind me.
Yeah, no.
She walked literally directly behind me both times.
Yeah, and then just now, neither one of you. Oh, now Scott's going to try it. Oh, well, there's your head.
Why, that's just a floating head. See, now you got to show that too.
Now he's the opposite of the headless horseman.
Yes, that was a floating head. Jill had no head except with looks that was growing out of my shoulder a second time, so...
Now I'm dark. Okay, now you're going to try it again.
Let's see. Try it again, because I'm dark.
No, now he's not showing up at all.
No, just like Jill didn't show up at all.
Yeah. Oh,
there he is. Oh my God.
Okay.
Yeah, but...
We're so off track now.
I know. Sorry.
So the other thing is... The other thing I wanted to talk about, we didn't really talk about the Headless Horseman. And I don't know where I saw it. It was something I saw today. He's not just a character here in the United States. He's known as a fairy. Like, he's known in different cultures. I got to see if I can find it. And I did read that.
It wasn't a lot about it, but I did read that in passing in some of this stuff that, yes, that was something that was brought over like from Europe to the United States kind of thing, you know?
And there's like different names for him. And I'm trying to find it. So he's a mythical figure of folklore, Middle Ages. It goes all the way back to the Middle Ages. And it looks like Ireland. He's there in Ireland. He's, you know, for us, he's known as the Headless Horseman of Sleepy Hollow. But he's still known as riding on a horse, but sometimes he has his head underneath. Like for us, it doesn't show him having his head. He doesn't have it at all. You might see him with a pumpkin. Like
a right, it's always a pumpkin head, yeah.
Inside yep. a pumpkin. But in Ireland, they have him carrying his head under his arm. And then he also wields a whip that's made of a human corpse's spine. That's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
And then Scotland, he's known there. Same thing where he is he's with his horse, both he and his horse are headless.
Huh.
So you see the image and, or hear the sounds of the horse or the headless rider in the traditional, but with them they're both headless. In Germany, the headless horseman was killed by their victim simply by touching them. So he's kind of like the Grim Reaper, it sounds like. And he wanders the earth until, you know, his sins are atoned for. And so he's trying to do better, it sounds like. But it's kind of confusing. Rather than using the decapitation, the headless horseman killed their victim simply by touching them. They were reverent who had to wander the earth until they atoned for their sins. So they had to do some good deed for a stranger. But instead of showing their gratitude by shaking hands, the stranger and the horseman held a tree branch between them, and the branch would wither and die rather than the stranger. So he is kind of like the Grim Reaper. Just don't touch me. You can touch the tree branch, but don't touch me. So, and then there's us with the headless horseman. So that's kind of interesting. Germany, Scotland, and Ireland, and then us.
In Scotland and Ireland, you know, you could think of that. That's pretty close.
Right.
In Germany, that's kind yeah. of different than...
Well, in Ireland, he is a demonic fairy. And he's known as the Dark Man. They have it in Irish or Gaelic, but I'm not going to attempt to say it there. And then the Headless Horseman in Scotland, considered a man named Ewan, was decapitated by a clan battle on the Isle of Mull. And then Germany, the Headless Horseman stories come mostly from Rhineland. And then, like I said, he was the one that you can't shake his hand, otherwise you're going to die. He's in books.
Well, why would you want to shake hands with a guy with no head anyways?
Yeah. Hey. What's going on? Let me just shake your hand. Oh, look, there's nothing that... Can I, like, look inside your neck and see? So he's in video games. He's in television shows. He's in film. He's in comics. He's in books. He's on a stamp. Yeah, they had the Legend of Sleepy Hollow on a U.S. postage stamp in 1974. 10-cent stamp. Can't get those anymore. So there you go. People have learned a little bit more about Sleepy Hollow and the Headless Horseman. And yeah, there's different films. We were talking about The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad, which everybody knows about from Disney. And then 1939, they did a comedy film, Ask a Policeman. A Headless Horseman appears in connection with the smuggling ring. And then
that sounds like Scooby-Doo to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I did see a Scooby-Doo with a headless horseman, by the way.
Yeah, well, Scooby-Doo does everything. I mean, he's the original ghost hunter anyway. And then Tim Burton, Sleepy Hollow, which has Johnny Depp and Christopher Walken. Thank God they didn't give him a speaking role. Can you imagine that? Christopher Walken talking, supposed to have a German accent as a Hessian. Now I got everybody thinking about that, what it sounds like.
I know, I'm doing it in my head right now.
Every time I watch the movie, that's all I think about. I'm like, oh my gosh, thank God they don't have.
I haven't watched that movie in a long time. I'm going to have to watch that now.
Yeah, we watched it a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, he can't have a speaking role.
He's just a scary looking dude, though. I mean, that's a good part for him to play, because he just doesn't. He looks out there all the time.
He does. I think the sharpening of the teeth was a little much, though. But that's just me.
See, I forgot about that. Look, I disappeared.
You did.
Now I'm back. There's something going on in this room.
There is something going on. It's a very haunted location over there.
Apparently.
And then Sleepy Hollow, their high school, is the Headless Horseman is their mascot.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. And then it's been referred to as America's scariest high school mascot. I think it's kind of cool. I'd like to have that.
Yeah. Mine was a cardinal.
I had the Red Devil. So,
you know, well, you had a cool one. I had a bird.
Yeah, you had a bird.
And now I live on Redbird Lane. So, go figure.
Fortuitous. And then,
but it's not a headless bird, it's just a regular bird.
Well, that's okay.
Sometimes I am all depressed about that.
At least it's not like smashing into your windows.
Yeah.
I get that a lot at work.
I used to get that. I used to work in a building that had huge big windows.
Yeah.
And our offices faced just these big windows, and every day, you know, four or five times a day, boom, 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 birds just flying right in, which was sad. I hated to see that.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I laugh about it, but it wasn't funny. It was sad.
No, but we still have one on the roof of ours. Every time we look down, my coworker's like, is our maintenance guy going to go and pick up that corpse? It's been there for like months. Poor thing. And then here's another one. There's a historic park, Fishers, Indiana, has held a Headless Horseman Festival celebrating the legend with a haunted corn maze and other activities since 1983.
Hmm.
Interactive historic park.
Hmm. That's kind of cool.
Right. And like I said, he's in video games too. Assassin's Creed. Assassin's Creed 3, Assassin's Creed Rogue. I don't know. I know Assassin's Creed stuff, but it's only because
I've heard of that before, but I don't play. I play all sports games.
Warcraft. So. Yeah. Some of these I don't even know what they are, but yeah, video games and everything else. So, I mean, yeah. And then, of course, the TV show Sleepy Hollow.
Which I vaguely remember that. TV show.
It's not that bad. I like that show. It got a little hokey after a while, but I liked the first two seasons. It was pretty good.
I'll have to look that one up too.
The one character had to leave, or I don't know, something happened with one of the characters, and then the dynamic kind of changed, and it was like, that's not so good. But yeah, the beginning, I liked watching that. That was. And that's where they talked about the four horsemen, and the main one that came through first was a headless horseman.
Hmm.
But
I said I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, but I mean, it was pretty good. I liked how they brought in, like, they brought in the Revolutionary War time, where Ichabod would travel back into that time period.
I remember that now that you're saying that. Now I remember that.
And then his wife was a witch. I don't want to.
Now I remember that. Yes.
Yeah.
And I did watch that for maybe a season or two. No, that's all coming back to me now. I remember that when you said his wife was a witch. Yeah. Now I remember that. That was pretty good.
I don't know why.
I stopped watching it just for whatever reason.
Yeah, I don't know if I actually watched it all the way to the end. Like I said, the character dynamics changed and everything, and then it got a little bit out there, and I'm like, I mean, I like the character who played Ichabod. He did really well. And then he had his little sidekicks that would come in and stuff. But yeah, I mean, it was a decent show. The only thing that was weird was they show Sleepy Hollow as like a almost like a big city. It's not. So that was a little hokey. But I mean, they did their best on that one. I mean, it's
well, maybe that goes back to him coining the frame or the phrase Gotham City.
Yeah.
Which I did not know until I was just reading that.
Right.
And he coined the phrase Knickerbocker for someone from New York.
Yeah.
So that's their basketball team, the New York Knicks. It's the New York Knickerbockers.
Yeah. You know?
See, look at that. It's all related.
See, it's like that circle of life thing. But yeah. It's all about, or that's what's another cool, one though, that. Yeah. That seven things to Kevin Bacon or whatever. Yeah. This is like the seven things to Washington Irving.
So there's a here now again. I'm getting way off track, but there's a.
They say we're all connected some way. So, I don't know how we're connected to so and so and so and so.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe we're connected to Washington Irving and we don't even know it.
Well, we say Nick and Knickerbocker.
And, stop them.
You know, now you look like you're looking at a ghost. Someone
I am looking at a ghost. Yes, you're raising your hand.
There's 50 days till Christmas.
I don't like
it. Now you had to make the whole thing depressing.
Right?
It's 50 days away.
50 days, man. Everybody needs to start going Christmas shopping now. Okay, now there's 50 days. So
it's not even Thanksgiving.
The ghost of our podcast came and had a just
ring. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be putting those in as well, just so everybody knows. But we've touched on everything with Sleepy Hollow, not Sleepy Hollow, Washington Irving, not Washington Irving. So I think for now we'll say goodbye. We're ending this season. We will not be back until February, where we'll come back with season two. So we'll come up with new topics and things to talk about with everyone. But until then, everybody have a great Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, and we'll see you in 2024. Until then, for our skeptics, keep us grounded. For our believers, keep believing. I'm Kathy. That's Steve.
Bye.
Say goodnight.
Just gather around and I'll elucidate what goes on outside when it gets late. Long about midnight, the ghosts and banshees, they get together for their nightly jamboree. There's things with horns and saucer eyes, some with fangs about this size.
Some are fat and some are thin.
And some don't even wear their skin. Oh, I'm telling you, brother, it's a frightful sight. See what goes on Halloween night. When spooks are having a jamboree, they break it up with fiendish glee. Ghosts are bad, but the one that's cursed is the headless horseman. He's the worst.
That's why he's bad on Halloween night.
But when he goes jogging across the land, holding noggin in his hand, demons take one look and groan, and they hit the road for parts unknown.
Beware, take care, he rides alone.
And there's no spook like Spooked Spur.
They don't like him, and he's really burnt.
He swears to the longest day he's dead,
he'll show them that he can get ahead.
They say he's tired of his flaming top. He's got a yen to make a swap. So he rides one night each year to find a head in the hollow here.
Now he likes them little, he likes them big.
Or in the middle or awake.
Black or white or even red.
The headless horseman needs a head with a hip,
hip and a clippity clap.
He's out looking for a chop-a-chop. So don't stop to figure out a plan. You can't reason with a headless man. Now if you doubt this tale is so, I met that spook just a year ago. Now I didn't stop for a second look, but made for the bridge that spans the brook.
But once you cross that bridge, my friend,
the ghost is through his power and...
So when you're riding home tonight, make for the bridge with all your might. He'll be down in the hollow there. Keep your head, look out, beware.
With a hip, hip, and a clippity-clop, he's down looking for a head to swap. So don't try to figure out a plan. You can't reason with a peddler.